To give honor where it's due, thank you, Pastor and Brother Cole. You've both been a blessing tremendously, and I thank you both very dearly. As I read the word, if you may be seated, if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Acts 2, verse 22, for those of you reading in your Bible, say, I'm there. For those of you reading on your phones, say, I'm cheating. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, and if you'd all read this with me, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and all those who are afar off, even whom the Lord, our God, will call. When preparing for this message, I had prayed consistently over what God wanted me to speak. But I was in a rut. I would hear spiritual authority at events and at church say, follow your calling. It's your passions. And I said, that's true. That's completely true. God's not going to call you where you don't want to be. So I let that guide me all the way to my calling, but then I ran into another rut. And I realized I didn't truly understand how to pray or what listening meant in listening to God. My mom once told me that listening, it wasn't with your ears, because that's just how you hear. But listening's with your eyes. When you're reading your word, it's God's word. So you're reading the word and you're taking that in with your eyes. You're not hearing that. You're taking that in with your eyes and you're listening. If you're struggling with addiction, the answer is his word. If you're struggling with depression, the answer is his word. Anxiety, the word. If you're looking for God, it's not hard to find him when John states, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Church, it's simple. The word is the answer. Acts 2:37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter said to the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? God immediately lets us know. He says they were cut or pricked to their heart. God speaks to your heart. He speaks to your mind, but he draws on your heart. He speaks to your heart. This is why he says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
That's right.
What I found in reading his word is that there's a burning on my heart that my mind cannot seem to catch up to. If the man of God in your life gets up on a Sunday and pours his heart out, you should take that as a direct voice from God. If you'd stand with me as we transition into our worship, let's pray that God allows us to fully grasp his word that's being laid on our minister's heart and on our hearts. And let's take into our hearts the whole effect of what God's about to do tonight within these two services. Brother Cole, if you'd lead us off in prayer.
Lord, we ask you now that every word that's spoken from this point on, everything that goes on from this point on, you always said, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. I pray, God, like a sponge, we would soak up your word in the next few moments. As we sing a couple more songs, we are going to hear the word of God. But I pray, God, that we somehow take the word of God and we apply that in our lives, and it changes us and it rearranges how we think. Renew our minds and renew our heart. Renew a right spirit within us today, that we may be able to hear your word and do your word today. In Jesus' name, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus.
Yeah. there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
So we'll sing this again. I am chosen.
I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Oh, I am who you say
you
I
are
am.
For me, not against
Jesus,
me.
Jesus, we love you this
I
morning.
I am who you say I am.
Say I'm chosen.
I am chosen,
not forsaken.
Not forsaken.
Oh,
I am who you say I am. Heart and everything you say.
to speak. 100 billion failures disappear.
Well, you lost your life.
Well, you lost your life so I could find it. You left the grave behind you, so will I can see your heart in everything you've done.
You died to so alive, like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Like you would again 100 billion. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Die for me 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Let's sing that corporately.
Like the word again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
Like you would again 100 million times. So you keep on singing this, you know.
But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
No matter what you've done, no matter what you've done.
Like you would again 100 million times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind.
If that's you, if you feel like that's you, won't you lift your hands? That was me, Lord. I was the one you decided to come back for. When there was no reason to come back for me, you came back for me, and you died for me. You died for me, and so I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you, Lord, for me. You came back for me, and you do it over and over and and over again just for me. Your precious blood was spilled out just for me. If that's you, won't you give God some praise? That was you. That was me. He gave everything. He gave all for every single one of us, and he'd do it all over and over and over again. He'd do it all over again for you. He'd do it all over again for me. He's so good. He's so good. And saying that he's good is quite the understatement. I don't believe we don't have the vocabulary to truly describe him or truly give him the proper honor. But we can show that with our passion. Yes. Personally, whatever that looks like to you. Me, I may jump all over this platform. Many of you may not be able to do that. But you're all giving your passion is much different than everyone else's. Thank you so much for coming. You may be seated. I have the privilege of giving introductions to a man. We had awesome fun. How many kids, did you guys love paintball yesterday? We went and played paintball yesterday, and it was amazing. We played low impact, but kids still left with some wounds and some bruises. But we had a fun time. One of their team captains, he named himself. He called himself. The speaker I'm getting ready to introduce. He loves Taco Bell, so Taco Town was perfect for him. But our team name. What was our team name again? Team Chalupa, that was our name. Team Chalupa, that was our team's name. And I think it was Brother Scott. He said, this is our team leader. And he says, no, it's Nacho Belgrande to you. So he called him team leader, but no, that's Nacho Belgrande to you, sir. And so without any further ado, I love both of these couples, Nate and his wife. I got a chance to meet them several years ago, actually when I was an intern here at a camp. I love both him and his wife. So why don't we greet Nacho Belgrande? We are the chips, and he is the salsa. And so won't you come bless us.
Praise the Lord, church. Good to be in the house of God. I tell you what, I feel very at home here. And one of the primary reason for that is the presence of God is in this place this morning. One of the other main reasons is I know I'm in a church that has leadership with the heart of a servant. I was here yesterday during the music practice, and we were doing some cleaning up, and I asked, where's the vacuum? And they told me it's back behind the pulpit storage. And I walk in there, and I look in this room, and there is a pulpit, and there is a vacuum cleaner. I said, this is a very fitting picture of Brother LJ. Many years at camp, and I had not seen anyone in leadership in that camp with more of a heart of a servant than Brother LJ. And that was made for some very great camps to camp and very great camps to work, and I'm honored to be in this pulpit today. I know that it didn't start there either, Brother Kramer. I've every time I've seen him, this man is working. This man is finding something to do for the kingdom. His hands are literally and figuratively always full, and God blesses that. So thankful to Brother Gavin for inviting me to come here today. He's a great friend. He loves these children. He loves you parents, taking them off your hands. See, when we do youth weekends and youth trips in Cleveland, I would always tell the parents, you know, it's this much to go on the trip, and for an extra $50, I won't bring them back. He keeps bringing them back to you. So, But I do love being in the house of God. I love being with each of you here. This Omni weekend, God is all, and he's made us in his image, and he wants us to be all in for him. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning about the hands of a good God. If you could stand with me for the reading of the word for just a moment. In John chapter 20 and verse 24. I know you're going to be cheating probably on the screen, so I'll jump right in. But Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, who was called Didymus, the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the marks of the nails, and put my finger into the nail prints, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come together in your name to worship you and to feel this great presence of yours that we feel here this morning. I ask you to speak through me your words and not mine, and anoint each of us, our ears and our hearts, to hear your word and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Is there anyone here that God has told that he wants to use you in ministry, and maybe you've responded like Thomas with fear and doubt? Maybe you thought, God can't use someone like me to start a P7 club or to teach a home Bible study because I just became a Christian maybe 6 months ago and I haven't even finished reading the Bible all the way through yet. What if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to?